Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Corinth in Your Car. We are glad to have you, our trite and true faithful listeners, gathered around today. We've got Josh to my left, Adam to my right.
Is it trite and true or tried and true?
It is tried and true.
Oh, there you go.
I think trite is an insult.
Yeah.
Oh.
Perhaps.
Well, maybe.
So we don't want to insult people.
Yeah, I apologize for.
It's okay. I just want to make sure I heard correctly.
No, I said
tried
and
true.
I said trite.
Okay.
But I don't know what that means. I don't even know what tried means. I just know it's a saying.
Right.
So, hey, I got to be careful with the words, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, Thanksgiving is coming up in a couple of days.
Trite is a remark lacking originality or freshness.
Oh, that was tripe, man. Come on. Okay.
And what about tripe?
Tripe?
Tripe.
Isn't that like pig intestine?
Yeah, it's some sort of food.
Or stomach tripe. Lining.
The first or second stomach of a cow or other ruminant.
So tripe and true.
Hey there, Corinth Christian tripe and true.
Our tripe and true listener.
Wow.
Hey,
all right.
You know,
I derailed us majorly.
That's
sorry
okay.
about
On
that.
Thursday, we won't be eating tripe. We'll be eating turkey.
You don't know what I'm going to... You don't know. Might.
Turkey wrapped in tripe.
Stuffed.
Turkey tripe?
Tripe stuff.
This went way off the rails. Sorry.
Turkey tripe.
Hey.
So it's the tripe of the turkey in the giblet bag?
In the giblet bag.
Well, a turkey is not a ruminant.
Yeah.
A ruminant is something that...
So it doesn't have a
second... Chews the cut,
yeah,
right?
So it doesn't have a second stomach.
A cow.
So is the
have you made a choice on what you're going to do with your second turkey?
Yeah, so I'm going to basically try to get as much smoke on the turkey number 2 and then just put it in the oven. So essentially if I can get 30 minutes of smoke on it, it'll be in good shape.
Okay.
And then just roast it in the
oven. Roasted the rest.
Yeah.
Are you going to wrap it in that cheesecloth?
No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. So I've got a couple of brines that I'm going to do and
okay. All right.
So you'll fully smoke the second one while the first one is in the oven.
Correct.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yep.
All right.
It's the plan.
There you go. Love it.
What's the temperature of the oven?
I think we're going to do 325.
Okay.
In the oven. I'm going to try to keep the smoker at 275, but sometimes...
So how will the oven not reach temp first?
Oh, it will.
So just going to have to
let it wait? Yeah. Yeah. Just let it rest.
It'll be all right.
It'll be all right.
Yeah. Good old resting bird. You're hitting the road to Kansas, yeah?
Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. So we're going. We're excited. I don't think there's major weather or anything coming. So
good.
It'll be chilly, but not not super cold, not super icy or snowy. So
yeah,
which is fun for the kids to see snow and all that. But usually in November, it's not quite
cold enough
big snow yet.
Weathery
yeah.
enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
We're excited to. Play a loving prank on my mother-in-law.
Ooh.
And I can say it here because she won't listen. my sister-in-law found a video where the family members just come out in costumes for the family photo. So we're going to come out in costumes over our actual outfit. So
nice. You'll change afterwards, but
we'll change
after the meme.
We'll get some authentic reactions from the kids. Which will make some pretty funny. Candid photos.
Yeah, man. So. That'll be fun. Cool. Very good. Well, Thanksgiving right around the corner.
You never talked about what you're doing.
Not much, really. I got a doctor's appointment Monday. So that's awesome. My annual visit. Hopefully don't pass out after taking the blood this time around.
It's a long fall from 6 foot 6.
Sure is. But yeah, we'll at several points during the week just connect with a lot of Tristan's family and enjoy a slower pace.
That's a lot of family to connect with.
It is, but it's all.
How many Thanksgiving meals do you get to do?
Two or three.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be nice to slow the pace down for a little bit.
Jaden said she and Chandler have like 4.
That's a lot.
I've never had that many.
Yeah.
See, and that's another argument for. Other foods being acceptable because if I'm running to my 3rd and 4th, like I'm coming around on the Thanksgiving food. I think we all know that, but if I'm coming around to my 3rd or 4th meal of all of that in the next, and you know, a span of 2 or 3 days,
sure.
Give me the fajitas, bro.
No, give
me the fajitas.
Come on.
Give me
turkey
the brisket.
Fajitas.
Give me the brisket. Give me the, like, whatever.
Hold on. So I need to mute your mic.
Yeah, you can. It'll be
all
right.
Instead of sour, just do all of the Thanksgiving food in tortillas and call it Thanksgiving fajitas. Yeah. So instead of sour cream, you got the sweet potato casserole
exactly.
Oh my gosh. The base.
Absolutely.
Instead of the pico, you have some green beans.
Or cranberry sauce.
Cranberry sauce, yes.
Yeah, you do a little bit of dressing. You do some turkey. You do some cranberry sauce.
Wrap it in a tortilla.
And you put it in a tortilla. There you go. Deal with it, man.
We figured it out.
Not happening. Hey, is it appropriate to get Christmas stuff rolling already?
I hope so, because ours is. So
y'all's
we never do until after Thanksgiving, but whatever. Yeah, I'm not going to fight you on it.
Yeah. I at one point in my life was a tried and true.
There you go.
Tripe and true
post Thanksgiving guy.
Yeah.
The last couple of years, I think we've started to put stuff up kind of like the week of Thanksgiving.
So, and you know, for us, we put it up a little earlier this year, but part of that is since the Turner side my Turner side of the family is going to be here, we're actually doing Christmas over Thanksgiving.
Same for us. So my mother and my father-in-law and mother-in-law, their house will have all the trees up and things. So similar
situation. Just makes the house look nice too. So,
sure.
I mean, if you have the choice of going straight from like fall decorations to Christmas and skip the Halloween like 20-foot skeletons in your yard. Just go to Christmas. That's better.
More people these days are decorating for Halloween than they are for Christmas.
It's gotten out of hand. My opinion.
We could sit and do some hot takes on that one.
It's gotten like a podcast of its own.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe we'll hit that
next year
Halloween.
Put it in the notes.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, this coming Sunday, as we record, this past Sunday, as our listeners listen, was a huge Sunday for our church, Commitment Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Man, as we look forward to it on this side of the mic, what are y'all excited about?
Man, I'm just, just anticipating what God's going to do through His people, you know, and. You know, I wrote in my email that went out today, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, in this table right here, I mean, we've been working on this stuff for
a long time.
It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I shared at Vision Nights, even too. I mean, like in many ways, some of this stuff we've been working on for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so, just a lot of things coming to, not culmination either. And that's the thing too. It's like, I keep reminding myself, it's like, you know, Sunday isn't the finish line. It's actually the starting line.
It's the beginning. It's the end of the Immeasurably More series and the beginning of the season.
Yes. And so it really is. It's just kind of that starting line. Mm-hmm. And we'll be firing the starter's gun on December 7th. And
going to fire a starter's gun?
Let's get one.
Might be fun.
I think that would go over great. I think that's a great idea.
Let's do it.
Let's just put that into let's get all those bad ideas out.
Or we could get some redneck celebrity to come and do the whole gentleman start your engines type of thing, super loud.
Yeah. Once again, we'll get all the bad ideas out.
What else did they say?
Giggity.
Giggity, 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 giggity.
It's boogity, boogity,
boogity, boogity, boogity, boogity, boogity, boogity, boogity, boogity, boogity,
boogity, boogity, boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go. Oh, something just happened.
Oh, you muted. You did get muted.
I got muted?
Yeah, I think I
muted myself by going too loud.
You got too loud and you muted yourself. Our
technology does that.
What a great feature.
That is amazing.
That is
boogity. Yeah, giggity is a cartoon. Else.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whoops.
Hey, let's you have a thought. That came to a thought.
I don't know what it was. I forgot. Yeah.
Man.
It's time for In the News.
And then it just
I got it right this time.
It's like the Whitney Houston challenge. Have you seen that on?
It's hilarious.
It looks awesome.
We should do one of those.
Anyway,
hit the drum. Yeah, the drum,
I would miss it so bad.
You guys see two options there. What are we taking today?
Josh, let's go with the second one because I can't do the first one.
Oh, you can't do it? All right.
I just can't.
I'll look it up later.
Yeah.
Oh,
I did see a video of a bunch of
children
screaming so loud they broke my ears.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, 6-7.
All right. This is probably our 67th in the news. The article headline, Australian prisoner sues for his, quote, human right to eat Vegemite.
I just like it because it rhymes.
Human right to eat Vegemite. It's my right. I mean, if they don't capitalize
on it. Have you ever had Vegemite?
No, I've never had Vegemite.
Never either. I have watched videos of people eat it.
What is Vegemite?
It is like a weird, it's an Australian condiment that is supposed to be, I can't remember what it is, but it's like, it's supposed to be really nasty, but if you're Australian, you love it.
Apparently it's so nasty. I'm reading the article.
It's supposed to be gross.
Yeah.
That inmates would, it would interfere with the narcotic detection dogs because they rub it all over and like disguise the smell of their, drugs. And
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I love it. He's, the article starts with a prisoner is challenging an Australian state's ban on inmates eating Vegemite, claiming a lawsuit withholding the polarizing yeast-based spread breaches his human right to enjoy his culture as an Australian.
So he's an inmate?
Yeah, he's an inmate that can't eat Vegemite.
Yep.
So
different set of rights.
Yeah, so the moral of the story is if you want to enjoy Vegemite, don't get locked up. Simple as that, right?
Well, that's what one of the lawyers who's a victim of crime advocate. He's like, as victims, we don't have any rights. We have limited, if any, support. It's always about the perpetrator, and it just reinforces that. It was created for helping kids get vitamin B, and I remember taking. Mom would have Andy and I take like vitamin tonic stuff. It was just like a liquid vitamin, and she would make us drink it, and it would make both of us just want to vomit every time.
I just took a Flintstones chewable.
Well, I did those too, you know, but we had to take that liquid tonic stuff, and it was just gnarly. And I wonder if that's what Vegemite tastes like.
So we've got on Amazon, you got a bottle of Vegemite for $11.29, and it comes in a squeezy bottle too.
Yeah.
So
you could have that in here by Thanksgiving for your turkey fajitas.
Turkey fajitas.
just a little bit of Vegemite there.
Oh man, so, cool.
The last U.S. president to visit Australia, Barack Obama, said this quote: "It's horrible."
Hey, he was right about something. Not
maybe like tripe.
Not Vegemite, but vegetables.
Vegetables.
Adam, we learned that you're a garden guy.
There you go. Transition.
Dynamite transition. Yeah,
I'm kind of good at what I do. So
I did remember the thought a while ago, but it's like serious and spiritual. So don't do it now. We'll do it later.
Okay, cool. You are a garden guy. When you mentioned a garden.
Yes.
I'm curious when the last time.
That was the last time.
I'm wondering why you put garden in all caps instead of air quotes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Air quotes would have been.
Air quotes is more appropriate.
The way I wrote it in the script reads, Adam, you're a garden guy.
Yeah. So last time I kept a garden would have been this time. So it was probably 15 years ago.
I love it.
Yeah.
But it seemed to be successful based on the story you were telling.
It was a mess. It was a mess, man.
That's okay. Like saying, I mean,
it was successful, but
yeah,
that's like saying I'm a successful basketball player because I won the 8th grade 3-point championship.
Hey, I mean,
money
30 years ago.
Let's go. How many
25 years ago?
How many threes made did it take to
win? I don't even know.
He was on fire that day. I do remember. I don't remember the number, but he was on fire.
I probably made 12 or 15.
He probably did.
Out of the 25?
Yeah. He was on fire. He really, really was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was locked in, bro.
He was locked in.
I was
laser focused. I was
eating.
He ate, left no crumbs.
He was cooking.
Left no crumbs. Hey,
what if whenever we, you know, put a new basketball backboard on our hoop?
That doesn't get broken. Yeah.
Doesn't get broken. What if we had a 3-point contest?
I don't shoot outside. Too many variables.
Oh my goodness. What if we went to a gym and had a 3-point contest?
If you give me a week or so, it wouldn't be close.
It would not be a contest.
I think we need to have a 3-point contest.
Yeah.
I think
Corinth in the gym.
I think I've got it.
Yeah. I think my Achilles can hold up for that.
It's just shooting, bro.
No, I know.
You don't even have to leave the ground.
I know. But you got to give me, I don't even know I need a week, man. You just give me an hour.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. It's talking a little trash.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right. Back to the story.
Yeah.
Adam's a garden guy.
Amazing.
Love garden. The illustration.
Yeah.
We never think whenever we're planting a garden the one time.
Did it twice.
Man, I'm losing so many seeds.
Wasting these seeds, man.
Because seeds aren't a loss.
Right.
You never are like, oh man, that one seed is, you know, I'm going to miss that one. No, seeds aren't a loss. You said generosity is the same way. Can you kind of lay that out and explain that intro before we jump into 2 Corinthians chapter 9?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I hope that that's, you know, I hope that it just really makes sense, you know, to us that we cannot, whenever we are talking about generosity, we're talking about giving, whenever we're talking about tithing and all those things, you cannot, if you view it as a loss, you will always miss the joy of what giving is to bring. And I would say too, you'll miss the blessings that are going to follow that as well.
Yep.
You know, and so it is just learning to see, man, these are seeds. I'm planting seeds, sowing seeds. And we can't reap a harvest if we just leave them in the packet.
Yeah. I love it. Cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we went. This is one of 2,000 passages or references in the Bible about giving.
Yeah.
I think that in and of itself is something that we just need to consider and contemplate. Like 2,000. The Bible talks about this more than a whole slew of other things that sometimes we
like to talk about
like
a lot.
Talk about, yeah. And yet this one, the Bible talks about, we don't really like to talk about this. What do we need to realize about the emphasis that the Bible makes on generosity?
Well, I think, if I can just go with a Captain Obvious moment for just a second, but you know, we talk about, like whenever you're reading through all four Gospels, and it's like, hey, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell this story, so you better pay close attention to it. I think that the principle remains the same of like, man, if there is something that God in his wisdom decided that we needed, you know, 2,000 plus references to in the scriptures, there's probably a clue.
Yeah.
That, hey, this really matters.
Yeah.
And so we should probably take very seriously what the Bible has to say about all that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Josh, do you have any thoughts?
No, same. It's money is the road to your heart a lot of times. And it's not just money, it's stuff, it's mammon, it's the whole stuff that's kind of overtaught. Mm-hmm. Not overtaught. It's maybe overlooked.
Yes.
Because people don't want to hear it, but it's right. So true, and it's very dangerous, the grip that stuff can have on our hearts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the stat about so many people have said this a million times, when the Bible talks about fear, says do not fear, do not be afraid 365 times or something like that. So it's like, oh man, it's one do not be afraid for every day. Well, apply that here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's about what?
It's 2,000 references to giving. You work through your Bible, you're in it every day. Something is going to come up about the stuff, about the money, about the mammon, about the generosity, about our tendency to hoard, our tendency to, you know, do all these things. And it's because it's such a rich, God knows, if we can jump into generosity, levels of discipleship that we never even imagined are going to be unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
which is why we've said for the entirety of this initiative, our primary goal is 100% engagement.
Correct.
You know, that's what we are looking to see. And you know, I think we haven't seen it yet because I know a lot of the footage was just like captured even last night as well. But you know, this coming Sunday we'll be opening up the message with just kind of a recap from Corinth Kids and Corinth Teens of just what our kids and our students are doing with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it is about 100% engagement. And, you know, because there is something powerful that takes place in our discipleship journey whenever we are doing this.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I was chatting with somebody at Advanced Commitment Night, and they were telling me, you know, that they had they made their decision on what their commitment was going to be. And it was just They said it was just weird because they said literally like within the next 2 or 3 days, something just with something financial, they shouldn't tell me what it was, but took place to where they were just like, wow.
How are we going to do the number we already?
It was the blessing. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like just writing it down on the card to get ready to go to advanced commitment night. And like the Lord just like opened something up.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you know, so they just have incredible confidence, you know, in it.
Yeah.
And that's part of the, you know, that is part of the discipleship journey, because it does just kind of continue to just reinforce. It's like your God does love you and is going to, take care of you. Consider the lilies of the field.
Right.
You know, not even Solomon in all of his glory was clothed like these. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't you matter more than a flower, you know? So.
Yeah. Love it. Josh, will you jump in and read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 and 8?
You can't help yourself, dude. You're like a kid in the candy shop.
I hang out with students way too much, man. Way too much. Here is the word of the Lord.
Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Yeah, I love it. Adam, you said this passage isn't about feelings, it's about readiness. Mm-hmm. Walk us through what you mean by that.
Yeah, you know, it is the idea that whenever we are ready, that's what brings us to this place of being a hilarious giver, you know, that word cheerful giver, because that word isn't just about, you know, smiling. It's about being ready to respond,
right.
Ready to release. It's that joyful generosity that's already packed and standing at the door. And so, you know, I used the idea of just somebody who you can always text and it's like, hey, do you want to go play golf? And they're like, absolutely. You know, I'm ready to go. Yeah. Or it's the person that's like, hey, do you want to go to lunch today? Absolutely. I'm all in. Hey, we're going to go watch a movie tonight. Do you want to go? Absolutely. You know, yeah. And that's just kind of the idea of whenever it comes to this, being at the ready is what brings that cheerful, mindset. And, that's what brings it along there.
Yeah, I love it. So the question just for you guys to maybe encourage our people with, it's like for the three of us, you know, our spouse is, I almost said
spice.
I almost said
spousey.
Oh boy. You and, me and our wives, all dropped a card in, you know, advanced commitment Sunday. Mm-hmm. As so many people did that night, as so many people will this Sunday, as you were kind of like thinking through, praying through, stepping forward, what were you feeling when you slid that card in and kind of leading up to it?
No, it was joyfulness, you know, and, you know, just joyfulness, knowing that, you know, Jen and I, we've prayed through that, we've worked through that, and, you know, we're at the place to where we feel like this is what the Lord's called us to do. And so it's like, man, it's awesome. And excited to see what God's going to do through it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I had all sorts of feelings. Like, so this is what I'm like thinking through and wrestling through with what you've identified here about the feelings and the readiness and all that sort of stuff is, just as Tristan and I were talking and praying and all that sort of stuff, there are certainly feelings that come with, God, what are you asking us to do? Wow, that's more courageous than I thought you'd say and all that sort of stuff. And it gets to a point where you get this number and it's like, okay, we're gonna do that. We're going to commit to that. And then for Tristan and I, we actually found out after we had kind of had a number in mind that there would be some slight changes to her work in the next year that would mean a little bit less.
Mm.
And we're like, okay. It was really tempting and really easy to be like, okay, well, there's our excuse to lower.
Right.
But we both just kind of decided like, I don't think that's what God is asking us to do. And so there was the feelings as we were writing that number down and walking up were, a little bit of, trepidation, a little bit of fear, a little bit of,
sure,
ooh, our, like, God, we're going to trust you with this. But what got us to the slot to drop our card in was the readiness and the joy. And it's like, this is more important. It's going to fuel more joy in our lives than anything else we could have imagined. And so the feelings were existent for sure, but the readiness trumps it. Is kind of the story I'm getting at. So yeah, it was a powerful night.
I'll bring back my story now because it was about that night.
Yeah.
That's what I said about.
Oh, earlier. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So Sasha's observation that night, that Sunday night, someone's calling me from Seattle. I don't know anyone in Seattle. Sorry,
Starbucks?
Nike? Oh, it's Starbucks headquarters. Yeah. Hello? No, I don't want you. Okay, sorry. That night, back on track. Similar thing. We went up as a family, dropped it in the box. And her observation was just because of how the room worked, the flow meant we were walking right back past the same, like down the same aisle. We weren't like looping. We were kind of crossing paths with other people that were about to drop cards in.
Yeah, yeah.
That were 20 or 30. Maybe even close to 40 years older than us.
Yeah.
And here's what she said. She's like, they've all done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, several times, probably. Mm-hmm. And she was just very struck with gratitude. Like, you've been asked and you have before, and now you're doing it again. And so it's what you're talking about in the message, Adam, about where all of us are standing on the shoulders, standing on the foundation that someone else built for us. We're sitting in chairs someone else paid for. We're in the baptistry,
correct,
because someone else's faith.
Yes.
But even if you take all the like spiritual stuff out of that, it's just straight up money. Like, we're in a building someone else bought, right, someone else built, all of that stuff. So it was very powerful. And, mm-hmm, you know, I was going to say something similar to what you said about sometimes the stories work out, like Adam said, where, hey, you make this number, and then all of a sudden God shows up immediately.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Other times, your car is in the shop a few days later.
Right.
And you're tempted to change things. Mm-hmm. But your readiness and your, I think for me, what it comes down to is, it's a psalm. I can't remember if David wrote it or not, but just, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
Yeah.
His children begging for bread. And that ends up working itself into one of the songs that I think Maverick City does or something. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And that's where that comes from. Just, I was young and now I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. And that's my story. Like, I've never not had what I needed. There's been lots of times in my life where I didn't have what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm,
even last week's message, was funny. Adam, you talked about the 13-channel cable.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a lot. We had 3.5, man. It was ABC, NBC, and PBS was the half. It was what we counted it as. So it's like, even that, like, but I didn't miss out on anything in my childhood. Right. Like, I had a great life.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, for sure. Love it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. Continue rolling through the passage. Paul writes to the church, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Mm-hmm. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Adam, you came out of this passage and said, it is actually our commitments that form our character. Will you walk us through that?
Yeah. And so, what Paul is trying to help us see here is that, you know, God's going to provide the seed that we sow. And then whenever we sow the seed, he multiplies both the supply of seed and the harvest of righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those two things are happening. He's going to multiply the supply and the harvest of righteousness. So the harvest of righteousness is the things that are going on inside of us. And so as we continue to sow more, as we continue to make more commitments, as we continue to be freer with the seed, that's whenever he's just kind of multiplying things inside of us. And so, and the whole point of it is, and it's there, you said it, is so that you can be generous on every occasion.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, is that God blesses for us to become even bigger blessings there. And so that's the multiplication kind of stuff that's taking place.
Yeah, I love it. You had great lines in here. God increases what we have, not for our personal gain, but to enable even mm-hmm. more generosity.
Mm-hmm.
You gave the Randy Alcorn quote, mm-hmm. God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved the question that was helpful to think and wrestle through that you challenged our people with is just, if you were God, would you give you more money?
Yeah.
I love that question.
Yeah. I wrote that on the side too. I was like, that's a good one. Yeah. Isn't that tough?
Yeah. Cause I think what it comes down to is if everybody was going to answer that question, honestly,
mm-hmm.
it'd be no.
Or maybe.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But yeah. I mean, like for me, it's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I was God, I would, you know, but if I was wise and God, I probably wouldn't.
I think.
Right. And sometimes if you put yourself in God's shoes, trying to understand God is difficult sometimes, but sometimes he's going to say no because you're not faithful. Other times he's going to say no because he is wiser and stretches you by not giving it yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wait. The answer is wait.
Yeah.
Or the answer is struggle through this and you have a better story to tell later.
Yeah.
Because I mean, let's just be honest. If God answered everyone's commitment every time, like the couple on Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
there would be a part of that. It's like, cool. But then there's no faith either.
Right.
There's like, well, if I stroke a check and I know I'm going to get double that back.
Right.
Right.
Like that's not how God grows us.
Yeah.
Correct.
Sometimes it is, but not
right
100% of the time. So
for sure. Yeah. Love it.
And I think that it is, and man, this sounds so weird to say, but I think that there are people that could answer yes to this question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I really do
because
I've had conversations with them and it's, you know, just they're like, man, we're trying to keep up with our giving, meaning that like things just keep growing as quickly as they can and, you know, or just are quicker than that. And they're like, man, we're just trying to be as faithful as we can and trying to, you know, make sure that we're given as much as we can. I'd give them more money if I were God.
Yeah, sure.
Isn't
that a promise of scripture, right? The verse of what's the one more will be given? if you're proved to be trustworthy or something like that. It has a nice flow to it because it's in the Bible.
Yeah, and Jesus.
But I mean, that's for sure
a
promise of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I think that really, you know, the point of that question too is to, you know, and if we are answering that question in the negative, it's like, well, then what do I need to do to put myself to what needs to be done in my heart? What needs to be done in my character?
Right.
So that I would be the kind of person, you know, that is that. Because once again, it's not about the personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
It's about enabling more generosity.
Right.
That's what it's about.
One of the helpful questions, that I've thought through, I think everybody, I don't know, maybe I'm weird. Everybody, I don't even play, so I can't even win, but everybody's fantasized about what if I won the big lottery, right? What if I won
the
500 mil, the one bill, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
What would I do? And I think one of the identifiers of where your heart might be is what do you dream about being able to do if you do actually win? Is it immediately the upgrade to the $100,000 truck? Or is it the, oh my gosh, there's this ministry I really want to support and they're going to get mm-hmm. the first check or something like that. I think that's an identifier for sometimes what carries our heart. So 2 Corinthians 9:13-15, Josh, will you read the last bit of this passage?
Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. love it.
I interrupted.
That's all right.
Yeah.
And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Done.
Thank you. I was moving on to the next question, and then there was a pause. I'm like, oh, he's done.
Yeah.
No, I just was being rude. I apologize. I'm not that good at what I do. Adam, you said generosity doesn't just fund the mission. Generosity is the mission. So just here's the question for us as we kind of put a bow on it. What excites you about our mission? Like what pumps you up? What gets you up in the morning about how God is leading and being faithful to Corinth Christian Church?
I am extremely I don't know if it's encouraged or excited. If that's the same thing, but the stories, you know, Josh and I, we were kind of reviewing some of the advanced commitment night, you know, footage of just people just on camera,
yeah,
and just listening to people and their hearts for others and for what is, you know, coming down the road. I think another thing is all those names on all those light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Yeah.
You know, it is just like, it's overwhelming, you know, on the leadership side of just like, man, what we are doing every time I get up to preach, every time you guys get up to preach, throw this in there so you guys can worry about it too.
Love it.
Somebody's light bulb might be in that room.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somebody has prayed that this name was going to accept an invitation to come to church. And anytime you, me, Luke, any of us, any of the three of us get up there to preach, there is a chance that one of those light bulbs is in the room or is watching this online.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it creates just a little bit of that. Just wait, you know, that's kind of there for us. And that's an exciting wait.
Well, why should we have to, only the three of us, share that wait?
Well, sure.
Because
absolutely,
literally every one of us needs to walk into church every Sunday. And remember, that person needs to be greeted from the parking lot with a smile on their face.
Yes.
Because, you know, one preacher said the gospel is going to offend them.
Yes.
If we preach it truthfully. So our job is to prepare them in such a way where every other step is like, man, we're so glad you're here.
Yeah.
There's coffee. There's people that actually talk to you.
Yeah.
That child that you're working with in the nursery, if that, like, parents nowadays are more worried than ever that their kids aren't going to be watched appropriately or carefully or whatever. And what we do for families to make them feel safe and secure, like, all of that breaks down barriers so that an invitation can be accepted, not just to church, but to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, literally every one of us,
yeah,
all 225 service roles on a Sunday morning,
yeah,
do that. You push buttons and make a screen change, or the lights change, or you play an instrument. I mean, it literally is every one of us need to remember every week, not only that we're serving Jesus and not Adam, Luke, Josh, Jeremy, Jenny, any of our staff people,
right?
We're serving Jesus. And literally everything we do is encouraging someone's faith journey.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yep. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, you asked me what excites me about it. I mean, that excites me. It's a weight for sure that, and I think Josh, you're dead on, that we all need to carry, you know, because that is, you know, that is the mission. You know, whenever we say win, train, send, that is not just, you know, the mission of those who are volunteering on Sundays or those who are up front or, you know, any of those other kind of things. That is the mission of, frankly, the church, capital C.
Right.
And, you know, we are just the local expression of it right here, and one of the local expressions of it here in Walton County in this region. And so I think that excites me. And I just think, you know, I think about the potential of, you know, and just, you know, just the different stories that we're going to be able to hear.
Yeah,
because we are, jumping into this generosity initiative, making more space for more people to bump into Jesus, just making room, man. And I think that's all.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Last night with those bulbs, with our high schoolers and middle schoolers, their turn was last Sunday night. But we had a chance for students to come forward and trust God for immeasurably more with their own commitments. And we also had prayer stations set up all over the auditorium and concourse for them to engage with. And one of those stations was set up by those light bulbs. Mm-hmm. And it was just, hey, pick a name and pray.
Yeah.
And so many students walked over there and they just were lifting up those names. But then there were several students who realized what was like happening with those light bulbs, and they wanted to participate as well. And so they started to, you know, write names and screw in the bulbs. And I had a couple of high school girls come up to me and they said, Luke, we've got these bulbs. We've read our ones on them, but there's no more sockets in the strands for us to screw in.
Yeah.
And I just looked at them. I was like, well, just leave them on the stage, you know? Uh-huh. And, you know, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, wow, you know, that's just so cool that so many people have,
if they truly
have one on their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they truly are all screwed in, I believe there's three strands on the stage and on each sides.
Right.
Each of the sides. I think that's 90 a piece. So 270.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Over 270 names represented. Because
a lot of bulbs have two or three or four or five names on them.
Because we're a church of overachievers, man. That's what I like. I love it. But yeah, it's just powerful, powerful things. So, you know, in the small group content, one of the questions last week or a couple weeks ago was just, if you could imagine and dream Corinth 25 years from now, what are some things that you see and hope and all that sort of stuff? And that was a super fun question. Just because, Josh, I think this is where you went to the board meeting in Providence when we were having this conversation.
Okay. Yeah.
So you didn't hear what I said. But your kids and all of the other kids and babies of our small group were downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, I was like, 25 years from now, I can't wait for the babies that are downstairs and the kids that are downstairs to be leading our youth ministry as small group leaders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that's like just thinking about some of those things is just so cool to dream and ask and imagine, and then to realize, wow, God really is going to do immeasurably more.
Yeah.
So I'm pumped up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, man. Yeah. I think a big theme of those testimonies from Advanced Commitment was, we want to create a space that's even better than what we received.
Yeah.
Like one guy is like, man, I want this. One guy said, I want a 19-year-old to walk in here like I was 33 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Made me laugh, like, now we know your age, right?
Yeah.
And it was amazing because he's there with his daughter and going, hey, we walked here, we found a place. Mm-hmm. And now I want another 19-year-old to walk in and find the same stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Just absolutely.
I love the specific, like, just putting it in. We want our story to be true in better ways for so many others.
Yep. Love it. On Sunday, you wrapped up with a bottom line. Legacy isn't just left. It's deliberately built. And, man, I'm just, of course, we haven't seen it yet. It has happened as people listen. But I'm just so excited to see God move in our people right after you say that bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really exciting. Any other thoughts, questions, comments, outbursts of emotions, things for the good of the cause?
No, just a reminder, y'all. I mean, first off, you know, happy Thanksgiving and all that other kind of stuff. But December 7th is the big day. That's whenever we're going to be able to announce numbers, but it's also the first like real initial give. That's where the starting line. We'll fire the starter's pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, but
actually will
metaphorically.
Oh.
Figurative.
I think I'm going to get one.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Call the track coach at Walnut Grove.
Yeah.
See if we can get a
shoot. We're in Walton County, man. We just need somebody to bring in the handgun. We'll just do that.
All right, hey, let's
Dwight on The Office.
Like Dwight in The Office.
Let's wrap it up with a little bit of fun. You guys both said it is appropriate to get Christmas things rolling.
Mm-hmm. It is. Have you watched any Christmas movies yet?
I haven't, but we're going to talk about Christmas movies. We're going to do the blind ranking thing, which is going to be fun.
Okay.
So you guys can both do it on your own.
Okay.
Do
I have to close our eyes?
No, I have them right here. Okay. You don't have to, all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to give you 5 Christmas movies.
Okay.
In a random order. And you have to rank them on a scale of 1 to 5 as they come in.
As they come in.
Oh,
as they
come in. We've done this before. And
yeah,
I like
so
it.
It's
I like
blind
it.
Ranking. So yeah. If there's a movie that you think is really good, but...
That you haven't named yet, that's going to be higher. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. So we're going to roll through that. And then after we do that, we can have a little bit of fun. You can give you guys can give your actual top 5.
Okay.
Okay. So the Christmas movies on the list. The first one is The Santa Claus. Starring Tim Allen, just the first one.
Remind me, there's 5 total movies.
Yeah, 5 total. We're 1 through 5.
Okay,
I'm gonna put this at a solid 3.
Okay, so Adam's at 3. Josh is at 4. Okay,
great,
all right,
great movie.
Second
one's funny.
Second one, Home Alone.
I will put that at 4.
Okay, so you've got.
You think Home Alone's worse than Santa Claus?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, I'm at 2.
And you're at 2. Okay. All right.
Because
okay.
Is Home Alone technically a Christmas movie?
I mean...
It's just a movie that happens at Christmas
happens
time.
At Christmas, just like Die Hard.
Well, sure, but...
So, anyway.
Just like Batman Begins or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, okay. 2 for me, Home Alone.
Okay. Yeah. The Polar Express.
5.
5.
Yeah. That one is...
Is there a 6?
Yeah, no, there's not.
Or a 7?
All right. It's never not funny. That's not true. It's often not funny.
Yeah, it's often.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
All right, I'm going to go 1. TV version. Edited for TV. Always got to say that.
All right, so I'm going 3 on that one because I hope you'll release the last one that I think is the best.
I will laugh if you think this one's the best. How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh,
Jim Carrey.
Man. Jim Carrey? That's like number 10.
Nah, it's fine.
So
it's got to be 2 on my list, so.
Where was Elf, dude?
Why did I didn't put Elf on there.
Ah.
Although,
okay,
it's one of my favorites.
Well, Christmas Vacation would have been 1 then for me.
What's your actual top 5?
What are the five movies again?
No, just in general.
In general.
We made a list right now.
Yeah, if you made a list.
I think Elf.
Elf's great.
Elf, Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone doesn't make it for me.
I think it's hilarious. Well, our kids love it.
Christmas Vacation, Christmas Story. This is not in order, but if you just want a top 5, Christmas Vacation, Christmas Story, Elf.
What about White Christmas? That's an old one that might.
No, I don't know. I've ever seen it.
The Bing Crosby one. Yeah.
I don't know. I've ever even watched it.
Old classic.
I would probably just go off the top of my head.
Claymation Rudolph.
That's a classic.
That is a classic. I don't know. That's
also terrible.
Yeah.
What about Red One?
Yeah, Red One, number 1. I don't know. I think that's probably a decent list.
All right, I'm going I don't know about order, but I'm going for sure Elf is on there. Mm-hmm. The Christmas Story is on there.
Mm-hmm.
My in-laws and my wife's family and all them have won me over on Christmas Vacation, so that one makes the list.
So,
I think that there's a Netflix cartoon one that came out a few years ago called Klaus.
Yeah,
that I really like.
I
think that one makes it. And then on the 5th one, man, I think that I'll probably just have a rotating versatile of just like whatever classic one is on.
Right.
So like
other than Polar
Miracle
Express.
On 34th Street or White
is
Christmas
Polar Express
or It's a
classic?
Wonderful Life.
No, it's not.
How old is, I mean, it's not that
Well, it's old. It's 20 years
I
old.
I was terrified of that movie.
Well, so was Elf.
Yeah.
That movie scared
that's
me.
That's old.
Polar Express scared me because the animation was
weird.
And
the Uncanny Valley. It is so bad that all the kids have dead eyes.
Yeah,
it's just
weird.
It should be a Halloween movie.
I saw a post about it. Yeah, about the eyes that don't move.
Their eyes don't move.
It's weird.
So sorry, all of our Polar Express fans.
Yeah, it's trash.
Never seen it actually. I don't plan on it. So
you need to watch it at least once just to be terrified, have nightmares.
That's a great advice.
Nightmare fuel.
Well,
no podcast next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, we're not recording on Thanksgiving Thursday.
On Thanksgiving Day,
Thanksgiving Day, because Luke will be enjoying Vegemite turkey fajitas.
I think
Vegemite could be the equivalent of sour cream.
Let's do this. Let's do a 3-point contest, and let's all eat Vegemite at the same time together. Just because.
So here, yes.
How about loser eats the Vegemite?
Oh, loser eats the Vegemite? We're on it.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
It's going to give me a few weeks here.
We'll see if that ever makes it out of the group chat. Hey, we are grateful that you have tuned in. God's up to some really great stuff here at our church, and we are grateful for you. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll catch you next time.